The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Patricia for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next hour I will be reading to you from Time Magazine. Today's program is underwritten by G. Suggs Insurance. Please contact G. Suggs Insurance, your local independent agency, for trusted advice on home, auto, business, and life insurance. For more information, please visit gsuggsinsurance.com. That is gsuggsinsurance.com. Or call 919-875-8889. Today I'll be reading to you from the most recent issue of Time Magazine, and in addition, another archived issue. April 29, 2024 is the recent edition, bordered in red as usual, inner border in white, Time in large capital block letters in black, 100 in large block letters in white next to it, superimposed upon a golden background, the world's most influential people. Patrick Mahomes' image of a young football player reclining his head on a football was the lead article in this edition. The reason I'm going to be reading only a few minutes from this current edition is because the entire edition was dedicated to the Time 100 World's Most Influential People. I will then turn to an archived edition from February 26, 2024, for more news and features in the Time lexicon. Beginning then with Time 100's additional World's Most Influential People, Akiko Iwasaki, Illuminating Immunity, by Anthony Fauci, who's professor in the Georgetown University School of Medicine and former director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at the U.S. National Institutes of Health. The COVID-19 pandemic has left a lingering imprint on 65 million people worldwide, suffering persistent symptoms after their acute illness has resolved. Yale professor Akiko Iwasaki is a renowned immunologist whom I've known since her fellowship at the National Institutes of Health 25 years ago, marked her as a rising star. Today, she's at the top of her game. Her deep appreciation of the regulation of the human immune system has allowed her to lead the way in delineating the mechanisms of how it reacts to COVID-19 and the consequences of long COVID. Her expertise in innate immunity, or how the immune system first reacts to pathogens, is providing key insights into long COVID, validating patient experiences and informing treatment strategies. Her accomplishments have earned her election to both the National Academy of Sciences and the National Academy of Medicine. Her leadership and her compassion, including championing women and people of color in science, has enormously benefited the scientific enterprise and all of us. Second person, Sean Fain, Striking a Deal, by Joe Biden. Biden is a Democrat and President of the United States. Last September in Michigan, UAW President Sean Fain, and that is F-A-I-N, told his fellow striking workers, "In this union, the members are the highest authority. In this country, the people are the highest authority." I know, because I was there when he said it, as the first American president to walk a picket line. Sean and I share a basic view of how workers deserve to be treated. Just as they sacrificed when their employers were on the brink, they deserve record contracts when those companies have record profits. It is only fair. The historic wage increases on the UAW-1 under Sean's leadership carry forward the powerful legacy of labor leader and fellow UAW president Walter Reuther, and have led virtually every automaker across the country to follow suit. They remind us that when unions win, all workers benefit. Sean represents the hard-won success that unions, from the Teamsters to the SEIU, to writers and actors, dock workers and healthcare workers, baristas, warehouse workers, and more, had in making 2023 the year of the union. They proved what I've always said: Wall Street did not build America. The middle class built America, and unions build the middle class. Turning the page to Maya Rudolph, Comedic Genius, by Amy Poehler, who's a writer, producer, and Emmy-winning actor. Maya Rudolph is a super talent who is lit from within. A performing polymath, she is able to deliver big laughs and deep emotions at the same time. We all fell in love with her on Saturday Night Live, where her characters were not only funny, they were having fun. Her work constantly reminds us we should not be taking ourselves or our lives too seriously. For a comedy genius, she's a giant comedy fan. She's generous with her laughter. She loves being part of a team. But she can make the winning shot if you pass her the ball. And let us not forget her voice, a special gift given to her by her mother, Minnie. This voice can sing lead in a Prince cover band, deliver a ridiculous version of the national anthem, or give shape to animated characters that win Emmys. In Apple TV's Loot, she plays Molly Novak, a billionaire who learns to give back. In life, Maya has already figured that out. She gives to us over and over again. We should count ourselves lucky that we get to live in a world where the hilarious California mama named Maya Rudolph is here to soothe our pain. Dominique Crenn, C-R-E-N-N, Pushing the Boundaries of Food, by Alice Waters, who's an award-winning chef and cookbook author. The best chefs do not just make delicious food, they feed us ideas. Dominique Crenn has earned worldwide acclaim for her restaurants, including the Paris-based Golden Poppy, which opened just last year, by using her cooking to tell stories and evoke emotions. There's poetry to her food, both in how she composes each dish and how deeply she thinks about it. She's focused on the most urgent message of our time, how we can live on this planet together. In 2019, Dominique, already the first female chef to earn 3 Michelin stars in the U.S., stopped serving meat to bring attention to industrial factory farming. Her farm in Sonoma County, California, demonstrates that growing food regeneratively can be a delicious solution to climate change, rebuilding soil health by pulling carbon from the air back into the ground. When food comes directly from farmers who take care of the land, you bring the values of those producers directly to the table. Sourcing food in this way, she uses her artistry to highlight the profound role our food choices have on the environment. Above all, Dominique understands the power food has to change our lives and the planet. Julie Sweet, Tech Magnet, by Klaus Schwab, who's founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum. In an era when technology and leadership intertwine to shape futures, Julie Sweet stands out for her clear vision and pragmatic insights on technology's role in society. The Accenture CEO has steered one of the world's leading consulting and technology services firms through the complexities of digital transformation, championing sustainability and inclusivity alongside growth. under her, Accenture has not only broadened its services, but also had a deeply positive societal impact, using technology to solve pressing issues. Julie has led initiatives that prioritize responsible business practices, advocating for both the environment and digital ethics, while fostering a culture of diversity within Accenture and beyond. Julie's strategic foresight and commitment to the common good embody the kind of leadership that shapes not only companies, but also the future of our global community. She is a leader who not only anticipates the future, but also actively works to shape it for the better. Connie Walker, Uncovering Truths, by Julian Brave, Noisecat, who is a writer and filmmaker. Connie Walker's first assignment for her high school newspaper was a story about the murder of a Sauto indigenous woman by two white men near where Walker grew up on the Okanis First Nation. She did not see any indigenous journalists covering the story. She realized she could be that voice. Nearly a decade ago, I interviewed Walker because she had become that voice. Her groundbreaking work has shed light on unsolved cases of missing and murdered indigenous people, even unearthing new evidence. While many newsrooms continue to ignore our stories, Walker has skin in the game. In the most recent season of her Pulitzer Prize-winning podcast, Stolen, she turned her investigative acumen on the Indian residential school where her father was abused, a story all too familiar for Native families. It is her relentless commitment to exposing hidden truths, which she pursues with the dogged drive of an investigator, the compassion of a relative, and the vulnerability of an artist that makes her voice so powerful. Katsuhiko Hayashi, Hayashi, Fertility Pioneer, by Shinya Yamanaka, who's a researcher and Nobel laureate. For years, Katsuhiko Hayashi, a professor at Osaka University in Japan, has been at the forefront of developmental and reproductive biology, focusing on turning pluripotent stem cells, which can become any cell, into germ cells, those that become either an egg or a sperm. In just the past few years, he's made several fundamental discoveries. He recreated the entire cycle of a mouse egg cell, oocyte, and reconstituted the ovarian follicle, which holds the egg, in a dish. Last year, his team produced oocytes using cells from male mice, resulting in pups born to two biological fathers. His work offers hope to those with infertility problems or same-sex couples who one day wish to have biological children. It could also enable endangered species to breed. As biological breakthroughs often pose a double-edged sword, Katsuhiko is well aware of the scientific and ethical challenges as he determines whether his discoveries are translatable and socially acceptable for aiding human reproduction. Marina Tabassum, Tabassum, Forward Thinking Architect, by Sarah M. Whiting, Whiting's Dean of the Harvard Graduate School of Design. Altruism is not typically a term attributed to award-winning architects, a profession where signature has become a common adjective. But Marina Tabassum is not typical. She's developed a practice and a way of being that prioritizes local cultures and values, as well as the perils faced by our shared planet. Tabassum's altruism even extends to buildings themselves. She cares for her creations as creatures partaking in the resources of our Earth. describing her Ba'it or Roof Mosque in Dhaka, Bangladesh, which won the prestigious Aga Khan Award, she said a building has to be able to breathe without artificial aids. Elsewhere in the country, which faces increased flood risks due to climate change, she has developed houses that are cost-effective and easy to move. Clearly, buildings should not just breathe. They should avoid getting their feet wet. While she practices very locally, she teaches, lectures, and is recognized internationally, modeling architecture not as an individual signature, but as a collective Esperanto. Sia Kolisi, K-O-L-I-S-I, Pride of a Nation, by Trevor Noah, who's a comedian, writer, and Emmy-winning television host. You cannot really separate South Africa's history from rugby. Nelson Mandela once offered rugby as an olive branch between opposing sides of the country. So there is an immense amount of pride when it comes to this sport. It is like the connective tissue of the nation. Sia Kolisi, as captain of the national rugby team, is right at the center. He has been the embodiment of hope during a time in which many South Africans find it hard to hold on to any. Through political strife and energy crisis and the effects of COVID-19, Sia has made rugby into something more than just a competition. His multiple victories, the country's victories, have meant so much. Through his wisdom and humility, Sia has taught us what a powerful captain should be, someone who serves and inspires those he leads. And for him to lead a team in a historically white sport, to be loved and adored by fans of all races, is an immense achievement. Sia is an incessant warrior on the field, but he's also a doting dad, a loving husband, and a great friend. He's given so much to a nation of 62 million people. I hope he's been savoring every moment of his success. There is about a 2/3 page photo here of Kolisi, who is a young man of color. Two more of the 100 leadership people, according to Time. Tory Burch, Signature Style, by Naomi Watts, who's an Oscar-nominated actor. I knew of Tory Burch, the New York City-based fashion designer, who has cultivated a devoted following over the past 20 years, well before we met. After all, she created the template for a woman-owned, purpose-led fashion company. But it was not until I sought her advice over spoonfuls of dessert that I understood her defining characteristic. After I shared my dreams for my fledgling company, Tori offered invaluable guidance I have held close to my heart ever since. Of course, she has a phenomenal personal style and canny business savvy. She's the queen of viral fashion moments, ballet flats, and pink hoop dresses. Her clothes carry on the great traditions of American sportswear, beautifully designed with a slice of pragmatism. But what has struck me most about Tori is her sincerity in wanting women to succeed. She may prefer to shine the light elsewhere, but I am thrilled to turn the spotlight on my friend Tori Burch. And finally, Dave Ricks, R-I-C-K-S, Developing Game-Changing Treatments, by Shantanu Narayan, who's chair and CEO of Adobe. I first met Dave Ricks in 2017 as part of our search to expand Adobe's board of directors. We wanted a CEO who shared our commitment to investing in innovative platforms that would serve customers for decades. Equal parts visionary and pragmatist, Dave has a deep appreciation for the power of science and technology to help people lead better and more productive lives. Over the course of his 28-year tenure at Eli Lilly, Dave and his team have pursued some of the most complex diseases and accelerated the company's delivery of new medicines around the world. helping millions of people manage illnesses like diabetes, obesity, and autoimmune conditions. His foresight and bold moves have put Lilly on a path to become the most valuable pharmaceutical company in the world. With the blockbuster success of GLP-1-based medicines like tirzepatide, which treats diabetes as Mounjaro and obesity as Zepbound, what stands out to me as someone who knows him well are his humility, fierce determination, and approachability, and the mindset it takes to contribute and learn. So following 11% of the Time 100 Most Influential People, I turn now to the archived edition of Time, where, excuse me, what Mr. Beast wants. Jimmy Donaldson, the world's most successful YouTuber, is playing The Long Game by Belinda Luscombe. The idea is that he will be strapped to this, says Kyle Bennett, pointing to a contraption that looks alarmingly like the bed in a lethal injection chamber. And we have a glass case that's going to go over the top, and we have 1,000 spiders that are about the size of my palm that are going to cover him, and I am personally testing this tomorrow. He stops and looks around, but the producer has lost his audience. Jimmy Donaldson, the 25-year-old video wizard, better known around the globe as Mr. Beast, that's one word, Mr. Beast, M-R-B-E-A-S-T, has quietly left the room. Classic, says Bennett. Donaldson is supposed to be showing a reporter and a film crew of one around the set for the next in his series of wildly popular videos of improbable stunts. In this one, a man is being paid $500,000 to face his 10 worst fears, hence the spiders. Elsewhere on the set is a chest of snakes, and somewhere outside there's a car full of money that's going to be pushed into a lake. But Donaldson is not happy. He has been away on another shoot for 11 days, and he is not thrilled with the progress of this one. I am not really good at these things, says the world's most successful YouTuber. If these things are crowd-pleasing diversions, then Donaldson is really, really good at them. A recent video in which he and his posse of besties go on a vacation and spend $1 to $250,000 per day garnered 52 million views in 24 hours. That's 20 times the number of people who watched the Succession finale, and more than twice as many people as saw Barbie or Oppenheimer during opening weekend. His most popular video, a version of the Korean TV show Squid Game, has been seen 500 million times. While few people over the age of 30 have heard of him, unless they have kids, Donaldson is probably the most watched person on Earth. Mr. Beast videos could best be described as stuff an imaginative 9-year-old boy would try if he had like a gazillion dollars. Donaldson crushes expensive cars, gives strangers life-changing amounts of money, holds contests to see who can do a dumb thing the longest. In 2023 alone, these videos gained him 99 million new YouTube subscribers, almost double the growth of any other channel. And in the way of most influencers, he spans all of social media with about 100 million followers on TikTok, 50 million on Instagram, over 425 million fans in total. He estimates he appears on a screen somewhere in the world about 30 billion times a year. At this point, we kind of know what does well, says Donaldson. I can make almost anything go viral. In the flesh, Donaldson is a 6'4" mixture of eagerness to please and odd detachment. As we sit in his mother's office on the second floor, of his 63,000 square foot studio on the outskirts of Greenville, North Carolina, he keeps offering context for listeners to the recording device, no matter that this is a print interview. Asked how he dealt with being buried alive for 7 days, in which time he openly wept more than once, he brushes off the difficulty. "Maybe for people who are extroverts it might be harder," he says, "but there's at least a million different things I need to think about and process mentally." These things included how to make his videos better, how a fly that was trapped with him behaved, and whether he was using an optimal moisturizer. Donaldson's swift rise has been spurred by massive changes in the media landscape, where individuals have replaced institutions as the gatekeepers of entertainment and information. He's proved an adroit Pied Piper, figuring out how to work the YouTube algorithm to hook and keep a crowd. But he's also disrupting the new ecosystem, showing what's possible even far from Hollywood with a gigantic following. The ethos of doing things differently, of growing quickly and exponentially, has sparked concern among some about the company's safety and labor practices. For now, though, the question seems less whether Donaldson will get where he wants to go than where he is going, what the world he is helping shape will look like. His sway has grown such that in 2022, he launched a line of snacks, Feastables, that by 2023 was in multiple countries and will have, according to him, $500 million in annual revenue this year. Stars the wattage of Tom Brady and Justin Timberlake now appear in his videos, and the Charlotte Hornets wear a Feastables patch on their shirts. And while he models his career on Steve Jobs, he has a little Melinda French Gates in him, too. On a second channel, Beast Philanthropy, he performs outlandish tricks of the charitable sort, rescuing 100 unwanted dogs, giving away 20,000 shoes, helping distribute $30 million worth of food that was going to waste. In December 2020, he started a food delivery service, Mr. Beast Burger. It grew to a reported 1,700 virtual locations and $100 million in total revenue by August 2022 before becoming ensnared in a legal battle. He has a toy deal and is reportedly on the verge of signing a nine-figure deal with Amazon. Most social media influencers reach a certain level in burnout or run out of money or ideas. Donaldson, who's been on YouTube for 12 years, has grown his channel almost exclusively on wholesome fare and has so far proved that his stamina and his discipline match his ambition. Ask him how he thinks he got so successful, and he has a simple answer. He just worked harder than anyone else. It is a never-ending treadmill. For the content, obviously, says Donaldson, it is brutal. You are always on, and it's a lot of pressure. And this whole system is based around 200 million people just magically showing up and watching my next video. Donaldson is not your usual entrepreneur. For one, he's happy to talk about how much revenue he brings in, about $600 million to $700 million a year. For two, he claims to not be rich. I mean, not right now, he clarifies. I'm not naive. Maybe one day, but right now, whatever we make, we reinvest. He spends lavishly on every video, sometimes shooting as much as 12,000 hours of footage for a 15-minute clip. Each video does a couple million in ad revenue, a couple million in brand deals, says Donaldson. I have reinvested everything to the point of, you could claim, stupidity, just believing we would succeed, and it's worked out. Most of his videos are made from the ground up. He rarely reuses sets and is always in search of new things to demolish. He and his creative team change tack right up till the last minute, and he admits they make expensive mistakes. We had an hour to come up with like 100 ideas, says Steffi Solomon, a stand-up comedian who worked remotely on Mr. Beast's TikTok channel for a year in 2022. It took her a while to get used to how big the budgets were. Nothing I pitched was too crazy or unfathomable, she says. While a steady stream of crazy adventures is Donaldson's main gimmick, he also keeps viewers engaged by allowing them to feel part of his success. At his say-so, 20 million trees were planted, and more than 600,000 people donated enough money, mostly in $5 increments, to help remove 30 million pounds of trash from the oceans. You always feel like you're in on his project, that you're rooting for him, says Kun Mai, the CEO of Culture, a digital advertising agency. In contrast to the feats he performs, the challenges Donaldson makes to others are not extreme, especially compared with the rewards. Anyone can hold their hand on a Lamborghini for days, says Mai, one of the tests. His whole perspective is, how do I make the average person extraordinary? Grayson Nolan, 11, watches Mr. Beast videos every day at his home in West Memphis, Arkansas. While his favorite video is the one where the Beast crew spends 7 days at sea because they had to survive and build shelters on a raft, and he had all of his friends, and they met a little seagull, something else draws him to the channel. I like him because he's super nice, and he helps people and gives some money, says Nolan, who also has a YouTube channel. The Just Folks vibe is key to Mr. Beast's formula. If Donaldson's Robin Hood, taking money from rich brands and giving it to stray dogs, Carl Jacobs, Chandler Hallow, Tarek Solomon, Nolan Hansen, and Chris Tyson are his band of merry thieves. Except for Hansen, they're all longtime friends. To Donaldson, this is more important than their media skills. 5 years ago, we were getting... 5 years ago, we were not getting SH space T for views, he says. It's not like they're just here to suck the cloud out of me. They really believe they're different, that they're separate from the rest of the entertainment industry, says Jason Zavaleta, a filmmaker who worked at Mr. Beast in 2022. Jimmy gets uncomfortable and gets angry when people use language like PA, production assistant, because it's too industry. Instead, they are called FOFs, friends of friends. Being different, however, cuts both ways. Time spoke to a dozen former Mr. Beast employees, and while all admired Donaldson and his vision, they found the company's attention to detail slipped when it came to adhering to safety norms or maintaining a healthy work culture. Many had signed NDAs and would not go on the record for fear of angering a powerful company. But several producers mentioned pushback around hiring experts for stunts. They'd always ask us, well, why, says Troy Guthrie, who believes he was let go from Mr. Beast because he kept agitating for safety. Guthrie worked on a global athletics contest video where a few contestants were injured, and he was distressed at the construction of the sets. After the shoot, as the friends of friends were cleaning up, he says, one of the huge doors contestants had to run between blew over. A Mr. Beast spokesperson says the company has never let anyone go for asking about safety. On-set medics promptly addressed any injuries that arose during filming, and a safety cord kept the door secured when it came out of its track. Scott Brown, a creative producer who worked for Mr. Beast from March 2023 to August 2023, says in order to move fast at Mr. Beast, they view safety as like being overly cautious or a weakness. He helped produce the Train versus Giant Pit video and believed the safety procedures were insufficient. When he suggested using OSHA protocols for the pit's considerable drop, I was told, we don't need to worry about that, he says. Other producers say they were asked to work with explosives, fast cars, and heavy machinery. with very little training and on very little notice. Let's just say as an 18-year-old, says Jay Neal, who moved to Greenville from the UK to help on the creative team, it felt weird to be writing on the board days without an accident that needed to be updated every day. A spokesperson for Mr. Beast did not respond to an inquiry about the board, but said safety is incredibly important and taken very seriously, and medics and experienced professionals tailored to the needs of production are on every set. The company is OSHA compliant, he added. Another challenge is profitability. Even though Donaldson has given away millions of dollars to family members, strangers, charities, and other influencers, he says that, like Feastables, his production company was not profitable in 2023, nor is it expected to be in 2024. Mark Hustvedt, who moved from L.A. to run Mr. Beast's YouTube business, says that given Mr. Beast's gargantuan audiences, brands pay $2.5 million to $3 million to have Donaldson give them a shout-out. To run an ad before one of his videos is about as expensive. A lot of companies are either unable or unwilling to spend about a third of what they would spend on a Super Bowl ad on one video from a Gen Z kid with a taste for extreme stunts. What we have been trying to do in the market this year is show brands, and frankly, their gatekeepers in the media agencies, that this is a trusted product, said Hustvedt, comparing it to a global sports event. Every other Saturday, you're going to get one of the largest audiences in the world. But if all goes to plan, Donaldson won't need advertisers anyway. I know a video is going to get 200 million views, he says, and I sell that video to a different company, which is just sad. In a perfect world, I would own a couple of different companies, chocolate, and maybe a global games company. And then that's what I would promote in the videos. Feastables, in its second year, brought in about 70% of Mr. Beast's revenue. Plans are underway for digital products, including games and apps, and he has several tools for aspiring YouTubers, including view stats for audience analysis and Creator Global for an audio translation. A good part of the channel's growth can be attributed to the languages it's available in, including Russian, Hindi, Spanish, Portuguese, French, Japanese, and Arabic. It all requires an enormous amount of time and effort, especially for someone with a finely tuned need for quality control. Donaldson has 15-hour filming days, 20 to 25 times a month, and devotes the other days to Feastables. But he's always been a guy willing to knuckle down if he thinks the payoff will be there. Hopefully, he says, a year or two from now, we're only promoting things we own. According to Donaldson's mother, Susan Parisher, it all started with Crohn's disease. Donaldson was a promising high school baseball player when he was diagnosed with the condition, which causes an inflammation of the digestive tract. He muscled through games and training, she says, but as it became clearer that he would not be able to pursue sports, he turned his attention to videos. It was very hard, says Parisher, but we can look back now and we can realize it opened the door for the YouTube. He started his first channel at 13 in 2012, and his current channel a year later. Parisher, who retired from the military in 2007 as a lieutenant colonel after 21 years of service, landed in Greenville to head up the ROTC at Eastern Carolina University when Donaldson, the middle of her three children, was about five. Donaldson's father, Charles, was also in the military, but the marriage broke up, according to a book Parisher wrote, Under the Weight of Abuse. Father and son are not close. I haven't talked to him in a while, is all Donaldson will say on the subject. Multiple requests to Charles Donaldson for comment were not answered. Most of Donaldson's education was at a local Christian school. I just remember how conscientious he was, says Janice Batty, his middle school English teacher. It really bothered them that he got a demerit for something. He talked to me for a long time about it. Donaldson's infraction was slight, but he was inconsolable, says Batty. He didn't like to get in trouble. His high school English teacher and baseball coach, Chris Coggins, recalls him giving a talk during speech class about how to work the algorithms. If you switched out this word for this word, the likelihood of getting a higher view count was higher, says Coggins. I don't know how many high school kids in 2015 would have figured that out. Donaldson enrolled in Pitt Community College, but did not go to many classes. He felt he could learn more on YouTube. The first clue that he had a viable formula came in January 2017, when Donaldson counted to 100,000, and it went viral. His mother remembers it took weeks, not to count, but for him to figure out how to edit the video so it would upload. By the time she enforced her rule that if he was not studying, he had to move out, he was making enough money to do so. I used to sleep on a mattress in his extra bedroom when he first moved into his house, says Reed Dukeshire, Donaldson's manager. A former sports agent, Dukeshire already represented some influencers, but was impressed by the young YouTuber's attention to analytics. He was sending me screenshots of his average view duration and his click-through rate, he says. Donaldson asked him to come and stay so they could get to know each other. Another house guest was his cousin, James Warren, now his CEO. His mom has worked for him since 2017. Her role seems to be similar to her job as warden at a military prison in Mannheim, Germany, keeping an eye on things. I do not have access to any of my bank accounts, says Donaldson. I have a CFO and everything, but Parrisher's the one who has access to the master bank account. Donaldson's understanding of the algorithm that recommends videos is legendary among YouTubers. He figured out early that the thumbnail, the little picture you click on to launch the video, had to be enticing. His are usually of him with his mouth open, either smiling or grimacing. He also makes sure viewers are told what to expect in the first 10 seconds, so they hang around. Lately, however, he's learned more on his gut than analytics. Now it is just like, how can we make people feel something, says Donaldson. When you see the thumbnail, do you say, how did they do that? What the F-U-C-K? Is it real? When you have one of those three reactions, you have to click. Donaldson's other obsession mirrors that of YouTube's executives, audience retention. How can you keep viewers watching a 20-minute video when there's so much a mere thumb swipe away? Neo, who directed a short Mr. Beast video about baguettes, 1.1 billion views, says he loved working at Mr. Beast, but the focus on retention depressed him and led him to quit the industry. These algorithms are poisonous to humanity. They prioritize addictive, isolated experiences over ethical social design, all just for ads, he says. It is not Mr. Beast I have a problem with. It is platforms which encourage someone like me to study a retention graph so I can make the next video more addicting. At Beast, I did that on steroids. Recently, people around Donaldson have sought to protect him from caving under his workload. He now has a personal chef and a trainer. COVID-19 testing is still in place, but it's extremely difficult to protect people from fame. 3 years ago, I would have been like, what's a couple of photos? Famous people are divas, says Donaldson. Now I get it. He estimates he has about 15 minutes after the first fan selfie until he has to leave a place or cause a mob scene. At airports, he hides in a bathroom stall or asks a restaurant if he can sit in its kitchen until his buddies get to the front of the line and he can join them. My solution for all this is I just don't go in public much, he says. Problem solved. Despite his youth and prominence, Donaldson has largely managed to stay out of the cultural crosshairs. In 2018, The Atlantic dug up videos of him using a homophobic slur, which were largely shrugged off as adolescent ignorance. "I did not even know what it meant," he says, spelling out the word. Some participants in his videos have complained it was a grueling experience. And as his staff has swelled, he now has 300 employees on his production team, plus 200 or so more at Feastables, there have been growing pains. Newly hired producers are given housing, good salaries, and 3 months in which to prove themselves. Of the dozen former employees Time interviewed, most had no problem with Donaldson, but described a company culture that was toxic, with a lot of bullying. People are experiencing enormous amounts of stress. There's a lot of fear that you can be fired at any moment, says Brown, who left to work for a company in L.A. And because clear feedback is not given, it is hard to know whether that's going to happen. Guthrie says he was grateful for the opportunity, but Mr. Beast was one of the weirdest experiences I've ever been through. A spokesperson for Mr. Beast says the company has high standards for performance and not everyone is best suited for this work. Parisher's title is Chief Compliance Officer, but many employees say she is effectively in charge of human resources. A spokesperson says she is not. Zavaleta says he tried to let her know people were unhappy. "I'm going to tell you right now, if the company keeps treating people the way it's been treating people, Jimmy's going to have no one left to work for him," he says, he told her. He recalls her being shocked and asking for time, but there was no follow-up meeting. A spokesperson did not respond to an inquiry about this interaction. "You get all these people in a town where there's not much else going on but the job," Brown says. "If you can show that you're a real believer in the Beast way of doing things, you are rewarded." "The Beast way is to go hard," say people who have worked there and not push back. "You can get there faster if you do not give as much value to compassion and professionalism," says Brown. Hustvedt, president of Mr. Beast, declined to comment on personnel issues, except to credit the recruiting team with creating a culture where you have to want to work hard to be here. There have been some business snafus, too. In July 2023, Donaldson sued his partner in Mr. Beast Burger, Virtual Dining Concepts, VDC, and claimed the burgers were disgusting and inedible. VDC countersued for $100 million, claiming Donaldson was trying to bully the corporation into making a more favorable deal. Both parties declined to talk about the suits. Donaldson says he finds constructive criticism in, of all places, the comments. "It's hard to get him off Twitter," says Dukeser, using the former name for X. "I lost that battle. It was on X that he learned he had labeled Taiwan as China and Crimea as Russia on a map that appeared in a recent video. Yeah, we should have paid way more attention to the map. Big mistake," says Dukeser. "But nobody really talks about politics in this company. It's not really a thing." Indeed, Donaldson's videos assiduously avoid hot-button issues. His mother and some of his posse are open about their Christian faith, but the star, who used to have an "I am not ashamed of the Gospel of Christ" banner on his YouTube page, now says he needs to do more research. "I believe there's a God," says Donaldson. "I just don't know which one." So innocuous are his videos that he was recently able to launch his channel on a social media site in China, which blocks YouTube. "Subscribe for a dumpling," says the homepage. Weirdly, the videos that draw the most trenchant criticism are not the ones in which he feeds a perfectly good Lamborghini into a shredder or valorizes obscene wealth, but those that show him doing good. He's raised awareness about food insecurity, amputees in Cambodia, the struggles of the Hopi tribe in Arizona, and the plight of orphans in South Africa. He sees this as using his ability to get attention in a useful way. Others see this as profiting off misfortune. After he paid for 1,000 cataract surgeries, he was criticized for wanting to look like a hero instead of tackling the underlying systemic inequalities. When he dug 100 wells in Africa, he triggered a barrage of white savior accusations. Donaldson acknowledges that these sting, but persists. I like to do those kinds of videos because it gives younger kids someone to look up to and be like, ooh, that's cool, he says. And instead of drinking alcohol or doing drugs, it's a role model that they can be like. He does good and helps people. Donaldson defends his philanthropic work against charges of poverty profiteering by pointing out it is funded by his main channel, which sends the charity channel $100,000 a month. All the money a sponsor pays or anyone donates, he says, goes directly to the organization he's working with. Beast Philanthropy also gives away 100,000 pounds of food every month. I say this to a lot of our people, he says. 10 years in the future, will we look back and our careers are over because we helped blind people see? In April 2023, Tyson, Donaldson's longest-term collaborator, came out as transgender and said she was undergoing hormone therapy, leading to some sponsors leaving. I knew there was going to be backlash, says Tyson, who married and had a child before she transitioned, but there was none from her workplace. This building we're in was one of the first places that I was able to feel comfortable enough to present as my authentic self. After our interview, Donaldson and his gang are getting together to eat, watch YouTube, and maybe play board games. Donaldson loves board games. The longer and more strategic, the better. Parrisher recalls trying to throw hours-long games of Monopoly by making bad deals, but her son would catch her every time. His friends have similar complaints about his affection for the game Dune. Jimmy would hate to hear this, but Dune is Settlers of Catan if it took 12 hours, says Jacobs. It is just too much. But as Donaldson has proved, whether it's effort, money, or explosions, too much is his favorite amount. If Donaldson can somehow pull off this very long strategy game he is playing, if he can create a self-perpetuating media company that makes enough awe-inspiring videos to sell enough of the snacks and apps he also makes to pay for more awe-inspiring videos, what then? In many ways, it is easiest to understand Donaldson as the elite athlete he once wanted to be. I just want to be the best, and I want to make the best content possible, he says. Eventually, athletes hit their physical limitations. It is not yet clear that Donaldson will ever have to stop. Belinda Luscombe wrote this article. It was read in its entirety, with reporting by Julia Zorthian. This next shorter article will be even further abridged. Menopause gets its moment. With new attention from business and medicine, a life stage comes out of the wings, by Jamie Ducharme. Catherine Clancy wrote an entire book about menstrual cycles, but even she was surprised by some of the premenopausal symptoms she has begun to experience at age 44. A lot of things that have to do with my uterus, ovaries, and breasts, I have been massively underprepared for, as a PhD-level expert in this field, says Clancy, a professor at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. That should tell you how even more underprepared most people are. Most people who menstruate experience symptoms including hot flashes, brain fog, and changes to mood, sleep, and sexual function in the years before they hit menopause, which is defined as the point in time a year after their last period. But that premenopausal transition, which typically begins between the ages of 45 and 55, can last years, is so rarely discussed in society and at the doctor's office that people often know nearly nothing about it in advance. One 2023 study of postmenopausal women found almost none of them learned about menopause in school, and about half did not feel informed at all about the life stage. But that could be changing as both the medical and business worlds get serious about the needs of the more than 1 million people in the U.S. who reach menopause every year, and the potential market they represent. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, in 2023 approved Astellas Pharma's drug to treat menopausal hot flashes, and pharmaceutical giant Bayer is currently developing a similar medication. Some companies are beginning to offer menopause benefits to their employees. Lawmakers have pushed for more research on menopause, and a flurry of menopause-focused startups have launched in recent years to supplement traditional care, since studies suggest a significant portion of people going through menopause are not treated. The company Alloy, for example, connects patients to menopause specialists via telehealth and sells products that promise relief from symptoms like hot flashes. But fixing the problem will take more than well-branded startups or even new FDA-approved therapies, which not all patients are able to get. Experts believe a meaningful shift will take place only once the core issues change: how research is conducted and disseminated, how doctors are trained, and how seriously practitioners take women's pain. Women of a certain generation just assumed suffering was just part of being a woman, our unfortunate lot in life, Dr. Malone says. Now, she says, patients are saying, "This is nonsense. You're going to have to do better by us." The last article was abridged, and we have run out of time for today's episode of Time Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I am Patricia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Today's program is underwritten by G. Suggs Insurance. Please contact G. Suggs Insurance, your local independent agency, for trusted advice on home, auto, business, and life insurance. For more information, please visit G. Suggs Insurance, that's GSUGGSinsurance.com, or call 919-875-8889. Time Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.